the first question that came to my mind after this announcement, and actually it's bothered me a little bit throughout the whole process, Donald. My understanding is that the commitment to be involved in the Winter Olympics in 2006 and 2010 was collectively bargained. It was part of the last CBA. My understanding is also that it's not included in the new CBA. And I'll just ask you a simple question. This is a big issue for the players. I get that. Why is it not in the CBA? It would seem to me if it's an important issue to you, you've got to at least put it forward when you're negotiating a CBA.
Yeah, I think the answer to that is pretty simple. We had an understanding on Sochi, which held. There was always a generalized understanding that we'd look at the situation, and if we didn't have costs, we'd figure out a way to do it. When you were doing the deal in 2004-05, you knew where the games were going to be, and you knew that 2010 was going to be in Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
We had just heard about Korea at that point. And I think the short answer is that no one envisioned that the owners would take this kind of view, which is, we indicated in our statement the other day, is basically just short-sighted. And clearly, as we see it, contrary to the best interests of the game and the growth of the game. I mean, just consider for a moment. Maybe down the road in 10 or 12 years, you know, the World Cup, which we started last year, will have enormous international presence. We certainly hope so. We think the quality of the competition merits that. But it doesn't yet. And in terms of a global audience, you know, you can't do much better than the Olympics. In terms of an audience in Asia, which everybody wants to try and open, and in which the NHL says it wants to try and open, where you have a big Olympic focus in China, given the games in 2008 and the games in 2022, you know, the real question is, why do you simply walk away from incredible numbers of hours of programming that are going to reach all kinds of people that would not otherwise watch NHL players? And you got to be able to figure out a way to take advantage of that. You know, we're smart enough to do that, I would think. For whatever series of reasons, the NHL's position this time was, well, gee, somebody pay me. Gee, you guys don't want to pay me? Okay, I'm going home.
See,
that's about it.
My counterargument would be, though, if I'm an NHL owner, how can you quantify what being involved in the Olympics is worth to me? Like, I need some sort of... Great. It's great that, you know, we're going to get a lot of eyes on us in Asia. That's wonderful. The players like it. I get all that. But I'm an owner, Donald. And what's in it for me financially? What's in it for me that's something tangible that I can, that I can put in my back pocket or I can put into into running my team?
Depends on what your time horizon is. If your time horizon is the next few months and everything's self-contained, and you don't believe in long-run business plans, and you don't believe in investment, and you don't believe in attracting new customers, then maybe nothing. If you want to run a business, though, in which you make investments, in which you showcase your product, in which you want to attract new fans, in which you want to move from a North America-centric or basically North America-only sport to something which has a much larger global focus, you got to do these kinds of things. It's really pretty simple. I mean, would Amazon, for example, say to itself, gee, I can't quantify what my profit's going to be in the next 6 weeks from doing something in some other country, so given that, let's just stay home. No business that wants to grow would do that. The NBA's been all over the world for a long, long time.
Yeah, but the NBA also, I mean, you would have to admit, the Olympic scheduling favors the NBA much more than it does the NHL.
Of course. But see, when you say, what does it do for me? You also have to ask, what is the harm in growing? Is there any evidence at all, or has anyone ever suggested that NHL revenues in North America fall because of participation in the Olympics? No one has ever even hinted at that.
A conversation with Donald Fehr, executive director of the National Hockey League Players Association. Was it a mistake to not include this in negotiating now? I know that's hindsight. But was it a mistake to not include it?
In retrospect, you know, had anyone been able to anticipate this kind of an approach, you know, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
But in the kind of bargaining we were in, first of all, we were focused on much larger things.
Sure.
And the players made very large concessions to the owners. And the response appears to be they weren't big enough.
That does
have more.
It does raise the question, and you know, it's something that hockey fans will be concerned about. They'll be, you know, looking at the reaction of players to this announcement, hearing your reaction. Does this, Donald, possibly have, you know, could it do irreparable harm to labor negotiations going forward? Do some bridges have to be rebuilt here?
Well, all I can say is this, and I've said this before, and I don't think people really pay attention, you know, when you say it. If the notion is that players will just say, oh, well, this is too bad, or the CBA didn't provide for it, or we wish it were different, and we can just go on with life as usual or as if this hadn't happened, I think that that's a very, very, very unlikely possibility. Second thing is, you know, you have players who basically say, all of them that have a chance to play on an Olympic team, this is either my only possibility or my last possibility to play. Because nobody in a game like hockey can be assured that in 2022 or 2026 that they're going to be in a position to be on an Olympic team. So this is an irreversible decision. This is damage which lingers for a long time. And being on an Olympic team, I've said before, has a patriotic element to it. It means something. It means something in the community in which players live and where they come from. And it lasts for their entire lives. And we're basically just taking that away from them because, you know, gee, we didn't get what we want. In the statement we issued, I said that a decent respect for the opinions of the players matters or ought to matter. And it's clear here that it did not. And that's too bad. And as I've said, we also think it's a very foolish and short-sighted marketing and promotional decision. But to go back to where we started, if the notion is that everybody will just forget about this, you know, I suspect that's not going to be the case.
We've already heard a lot of players, you know, as I said, almost uniformly. I don't know if there was if there was a word said otherwise. I haven't heard it, but uniformly we've had players come out and say that they don't like this decision. They want to go to the Olympics. We've had Alexander Ovechkin essentially say, that's fine, I'm going. You know, I've got my owner's blessing. I'm going. And, I mean, I've got to ask you, are we going to see, I don't know, Donald, 20, 25 players challenge their owners in this regard? And if that happens, where do we go?
It's premature to say. This is a matter which arises under the terms of the individual contracts. It's not a collective matter.
Okay.
But that's not something I'm prepared to speculate about now. I haven't even had an opportunity yet to have discussions with the players about it. But I think the comments to which you refer emphasize the depth of feeling which is involved here.
You know, from a distance, those of us who really like the idea of the World Cup, and I've been pretty clear, I think that, I mean, I'm a soccer fan. I love the World Cup of soccer. I think that's the way ultimately hockey has to go. I'm looking at this and I'm saying, you know what would be wrong with having the Olympics as, I don't know, an under-23 tournament, something, you know, the way the soccer is done, and have a real World Cup where that's, you know, that's the event that really matters to players.
As I've explained, you know, many times before, and we've actually had fairly significant discussions with the players about this over the last couple of years. Long run, if the World Cup develops as we hope it will and as we think it should, maybe that's something that becomes a really viable possibility. But short run, it's not there. We have to develop that event first.
But it's got.
And then the third thing is, you know, if you really want to develop the game globally, is there any reason you should not at least consider doing both?
Mm.
Maybe you decide not to, but at least consider it. But those decisions, I don't think, are ripe yet.
Okay. I was thinking that at some point you have to make the World Cup the most I think at some point you have to make it the most valuable thing for players, right? I mean, the World Cup of soccer didn't automatically start out that way. At some point, you have to say, hey, guys, this is the most important international event. And by the way, we're going to make money on it.
And I think, you know, if it develops in the way that a lot of us hope, and that this, you know, is an idea that has been you know, sort of near and dear to the hearts of the players and to people in this office for a long time, then maybe we'll get there. But, you know, if we did another World Cup tomorrow, and it had as much competitive flair and excitement and drama as anything you could imagine, it would still not get the coverage that ice hockey at the Olympics will get in Asia and particularly in China.
So what's the next? What's the next step here? I mean, do we all take a step back? You know, I mean, I've heard players say they still think that the door might be open. Do you think the door is open at all?
You'll have to ask Gary that.
Okay, but what's the next step then? Do we just sit back and kind of wait?
We'll be in contact with the players, and we'll make some judgments about it. But there's nothing else I can say about that today.